Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of New Matter Cause. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning's show is entitled God's Direct Overthrow of Paul's Lethal Spiritual Darkness. What I've been doing in the last two or three episodes is to present the case, the amazing case for resurrection power and the necessity thereof. We have also been studying about the background of Saul and who he was prior to the conversion event that took place on the road to Damascus. Saul had been an individual who was connected or a part of the Sanhedrin Council. Indeed, he tells us in his letter to the Philippians that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. So he gives us his pedigree. He gives us his affiliation. He tells us in no uncertain terms who and what he was. But then he also tells us in his letter to the Philippians that he now counted all of these things as dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Paul had once been religious. He had at one time been a religious individual filled with religious zeal. And yet after his conversion, he will acknowledge that he was in darkness and that he persecuted those of the way. He will say that he did it ignorantly and belief, and we shall visit those passages at future dates and explore the depth of power. But I want to bring your attention again to the book of Acts, which is the first book of church history. And so we pick up at least Acts as part of a two-volume set, written by the physician theologian Luke. The Gospel of Luke and Acts were written about one and the same, Luke the physician theologian. And so he records this great event of the conversion of Saul for us in church history, that we may know the background of this individual. And I think that it is important to know the background of people so that we might get some understanding as to who they were and what they had done prior to coming to the living Christ. And so we see Paul's connection with the Sanhedrin Council. The Sanhedrin Council had become frustrated. The gospel, the Evangelion, was taking over Jerusalem, and they were frustrated. because the apostles did not cower before them and heed their words to stop the dissemination of the gospel. And so they hired Saul, who was their Malleus, who was their hammer, to stamp out the church. And I want to submit to you that we pay close attention to the juxtaposition of the ecclesia and its message, Evangelion, the gospel, with persecution. And indeed, persecution did not stop the dissemination of Evangelion. Persecution caused it to spread and the message to grow. This very powerful message would not be stopped. The gospel is a different type of message. And Rabbi Gamaliel's gave wise counsel to the Sanhedrin council, but they gave formal assent. In committee, they agreed to listen to the words of Rabbi Gamaliel, but we see that they did not really listen or grasp what he was saying to them about this new movement called the Way. He gave them historical illustrations about those who had before appeared to be doing the will of God with their revolutionary or radical movements, with their terrorism, etc. And the rabbi knew that this movement was different. And there was no attempt at political overthrow. There was no attempt on the part of the disciples to say anything against the government, or there's no great conspiracy to try to confront the Roman government in any way. This movement was different. But the Sanhedrin Council did not want to listen or take to heart the words of the great rabbi. And so I bring your attention to Acts chapter 5. And again, verse 21, the high priest and his associates arrived. They called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel. And they sent to the jail for the apostles. This is in verse 21. And so the officers found that, verse 23, we found the jail securely locked with a guard standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one had stopped. The message and the messenger are one. The message and the messenger are one in the New Testament. So the life must live up to, must exemplify the message. And these men were being used by God to disseminate the Evangelion. They were unstoppable. And so, even jail, we see the supernatural power of God at work in removing them from this restrictive environment. And so, in verse 27, we read, having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. Again, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. They really are. Peter and the other apostles reply, we must, or it is necessary in the nature of the case, that we obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, out from among the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. Or Zula. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses. We are witnesses. Notice the verb, are. We, collective pronoun, are witnesses. Not word, not will be of future tense, but present. We are witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Spirit. Listen very carefully. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the man be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Consider carefully. It is important to note the insight of Rabbi Gamaliel and how in church history in the West, his words, for the most part, have not been listened to carefully. But you and I know we live in the eschaton, that is, we live in the last days of this eon. We live in the last days of this age. And Rabbi Gamaliel says to these individuals, some time ago, Theudas appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed. Verse 37, after him, Judas of the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He was killed. Verse 38, therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. And even though Saul would be used as their mallet, as their hammer, the Sanhedrin council would give formal assent. Verse 40, his speech persuaded them. They would give formal assent to the words of Rabbi Gamaliel, and yet they will send out their malleus, that is, Saul, to do their bidding because of their frustration with the gospel message, fighting against God, fighting against the will of God, fighting against the bole, the determined will of God, in an attempt to maintain control over the people. They were fighting against God. So this was, they had at their disposal the Exodus and how Pharaoh attempted to stop the will of God. They had at their disposal the history of the judges. They had at their disposal the history of 1 Samuel, and they knew how God overthrew the family of Eli because of the sins of his sons and his priesthood to be set aside. They had all of these powerful historical examples. And yet they would send out Saul, and in his great spiritual darkness, he would attempt to carry out their will, and yet God would overthrow him on the road to Damascus. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. I will speak with you next time on New Medical.